Welcome to another Under Rocks podcast from WNIJ, where we explore unique places, stories, and local treasures hidden under the rocks of northern Illinois and southern Wisconsin. This month, we're entering the dream world of the Alabriese. A listener tipped us off about an exhibit at Founders Memorial Library in DeKalb featuring these giant technicolor, otherworldly sculptures. We see a jaguar with wings and a snake for a tail, a purple hippopotamus named Pepe, and a rabbit combined with an iguana. If you've ever been to Mexico or just about any gift shop in the Southwest, you've probably seen the small wooden Alabriese for sale, but these ones are massive, up to 3 Dan Libmans tall, so big they had to disassemble the front door of the library to get them in the building. So join us as we get a tour through the exhibit from Associate Dean of Collections Management, Gwen Gregory. But first, we stopped by the exhibit's opening reception to get some reactions to the Alabriese. Trumpets and mariachi music echoed through the normally quiet library. I'm Spencer Tritt. Join me, Susan Stevens, and Dan Libman as we investigate the Alabriese here on Under Rocks.
My name is Luis Santos Rivas. I'm the director of the Latino Resource Center. And we are co-sponsoring this event together with the library and the Center for Latin American Studies.
Tell us about these sculptures, the Alabriese.
Alabriese is a sculpture that includes the ground, the sky, and the sea. So it's three different things, three different aspects. So that's why they make you see that it looks like a fish, looks like an earth animal and something else. So that's why that is all about. It's composed of those three elements. That was a guy in Mexico that he was dreaming about this, and then he started to create all those features, all those figures.
From dreams.
Yeah, he was dreaming about it.
So the style of sculpture came from dreams, and it makes sense when you see them. A giant, colorful creature greets you as soon as you walk into the library. We see that its name is Goliath, and it's part deer, giraffe, and eagle. But who is this original creature dreaming artist, and who made the sculptures here at Founders? We meet up with Fernando Ramirez, the curator of the exhibit, who worked with the artists in Mexico to bring their work here to northern Illinois.
My name is Fernando Ramirez. I'm the president and founder of the Mexican Cultural Center DuPage.
So these pieces are just incredible. The first impression I had walking in is the size, just incredible size. These things are enormous. Definitely encouraging people to see it in person to get the full sense of scale. Tell us a little bit about how these sculptures are made. What are the materials used? Do you know about the process that the artist used to make these?
Of course, sure. It starts really with, depending on the size we want to go, and those are called monumentales. That's what they call those kind of creatures, the Alabriese monumentales. And so they're made out of metal structures that's welded together, depending on the volume, whatever they want to use, but they'll use chicken wire to kind of give it the volume or the shape of what they're looking for.
Skeleton.
Right, yeah, exactly, to give it that skeleton. They might do, if it's something that's it's a little bit more difficult, they'll sometimes use styrofoam, depending on what to do. But this is stuff that's created with the most inexpensive materials, because sometimes it's just whatever they have, newspaper or any craft paper that they have. Usually the community comes and donates a lot of this stuff because they know this is their local cartonero who does these type of creatures. And so moms or families will come around and just drop off newspaper, so that way when they ever start building these, they can help them do that. So it's just one layer, one dry layer of paper, and after that, depending on the artist and their technique, it could go up to 30 layers of paper to give that. And once it's already, they have the figure that they want, that's what they call the middle. That's the middle of the process, because then it becomes the painting process and all of that, and depending how much technique they put into that. So it could take up a good 3 months or 4 months, depending on how much they put into it. Yeah,
and it sounds like it is kind of two distinct processes, building the thing, and then the painting is kind of a whole nother aspect to it. The colors are just incredible.
Of course, and everybody has their own technique. Every artist will tell you, I came up this way from this teacher taught me this way, or I came from this community and they do it this way, this is how they do it. So it really is just depending on where they came from, who their teacher was, and what they were inspired by. And it just can vary very much. And every artist will tell you, when you get a chance to talk to them, they'll tell you that every alebrije or every piece is different. They can never replicate it, because even if you tell them, hey, can you make me exactly the same one, they will never be able to replicate it exactly the same way, because they say that they were feeling, or they were in a different situation at the time that they were doing it, so they'll never be able to create something identical. So they're very unique in different ways.
Yeah, and it is folk art, so I would imagine, you know, every region, it's got to be different in every region a little bit.
Yeah, of course. And then it's really under, it's what they call popular art. Mm-hmm. This is what they call popular art, because it's created by, it's made by the masses to the masses, is basically what it is. So it's not something that you will see too often. This is closer to fine art as we can get it, because it's in a library, a beautiful library like this. But they're meant to be, the artist will tell you that these are meant to be one day destroyed. They're not meant to be living for too often, you know. So it's one of those things that we just get the opportunity to see them a little bit longer time.
That's fascinating. And I was speaking with Luis here, who's our he runs the Center for Latino Studies at NIU, and he told me that these came from dreams originally. Tell us a little bit about the history of these sculptures.
Sure, yeah. So the creator of the alebrijes, in reality, was Pedro Linares, who was also a master craftsman with carton or cardboard or paper. And this was back in the 1940s. He was basically, he was dying. And so he woke up one day, and he was surrounded by people, his family, you know, they were crying, they were praying, and they saw candles, and he said, what is going on? And when he woke up, he says he remembers that he was having a dream that these creatures, when he was walking during this forest, there was creatures, and they were kind of, you know, saying, alebrijes, 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 which kind of stuck in his mind. I'm like, he's never heard the word. But he's like, what are they trying to tell me? You know, what are these creatures trying to tell me? And he felt that they were trying to tell him to get away from the light, to walk this way. Come on, you know, follow us. And so he felt, looking back, he's like, oh my God, they saved my life. These creatures saved my life. And so that's how he was inspired to create these. What he saw in that dream was, let me start making them, just because it was stuck in his brain for such a long time. Let me build them. And he gave them the name of what he kept hearing, which was alebrijes, you know.
And what is the direct translation of alebrijes?
There is no direct translation. There's really, it's a mythical creature is what we say. And the alebrije in reality can be, now it's taken on, it's larger than Mexico City and the Linares family. You know, the city is where they created it, but now it's in Oaxaca. And they make it out of copal, which is like wood, softer wood, that it's native there in Oaxaca. And in Guanajuato, they created do papel with carton or cardboard, but it's just created a little bit different. So alebrijes has really taken its own, now it's a mythical creature, but it could be made out of whatever you want it to be created out of.
And kind of the mythology is definitely a part of it, and I love the names of these creatures too. There's some names, right, reminiscent of like Aztec gods, and then there's even, I noticed, the big whale out front is Jonas.
Yes. I believe that's Edgar, who's the artist, Maestro Edgar. He's a very biblical gentleman, and he's very spiritual, and he said it's from the scripture and from the Bible, and this is why I gave it the name. And I'm like, oh well, that's wonderful. I hope that people can pick it up from that tale. Some of these names are given by some are, depending on if somebody has passed away, they give that name to that person, something that they remember when they were building it, they remember and they call it that. Other ones are, some of those are, if you can't pronounce it, it's okay, because they're Nahual, and it's very hard language, it's more indigenous, and so it took me a while to be able to pronounce some of them and what they are and everything. And so some of them come from mythical stories that they've grew up saying, so it's just whatever they get inspired, or some they just said, hey, my son is named, or my daughter's named Gigi, I'm gonna call it Gigi. So it's just simply as simple as that sometimes.
Is there a place people can go to learn more about these?
So they can come, you can find us on Facebook, the Mexican Cultural Center DuPage, and there's a lot of information there. But definitely come out here to the library at NIU. It's a wonderful, we have music right now and everything, which was crazy for me to walk into a library to see all the wonderful music that they have. But to see these creatures up close, and it's hard for somebody to maybe to describe it. You got to be able to see it yourself to be able to take it in and be able to describe it yourself, try to describe it yourself. So yeah, no, a great place here is to be able to learn. They have some good information about it.
Thank you so much. And last question here. I've been asking folks, do you have a favorite one that you've seen here today in the exhibit?
I can never say this. Artists always ask me the same things. I can never say which one's my favorite. There are really, no, honestly, it just depends on, it's one of those things where it's like depends on the time. And then you kind of start to appreciate it because I've met the artists and I went and visited them and I saw how they created it and stuff. So I see the painstaking time that they put into it. That's why I appreciate all of them, because it really was a labor of love for them to be able to do this. So all of them are in one form or another. I really enjoy, and you know, there's nothing like you guys to come out here to be able to see them and really see what you like.
My name is Fred Barnhart. My title is Dean of Libraries at Northern Illinois University.
I understand you were involved in getting this exhibit here at Founders. Tell us a little bit about that.
There were a lot of people involved, but the idea first came from Drew Vandekriek, who's our Director of Special Projects and Digital Scholarship, and he and his family saw the exhibit at Cantini Park in Wheaton a couple of years ago, and he thought this would be a really interesting thing to bring to NIU. You know, we have a growing Hispanic population, both in the community but also in the student population, and I thought it was a great idea, but I didn't know how we could make this happen. And gradually, after asking some questions and kind of things came together at the last minute in January, and all of a sudden, and so Fernando Ramirez, he's the director of the DuPage Mexican Cultural Center, and he was the one who brought this exhibit here to the United States and in Cantini Park, and he was very open to helping us. He made it all possible. So it was a group effort, Drew and Fernando, and then getting in the building, and then of course we needed help putting this reception together. So yeah, it was a group effort.
Well, this is really cool. I'm glad you guys are doing this. Did you know anything about these sculptures before you brought the exhibit?
I knew very little, and Drew told me about them. I had no idea how big and beautiful they were. I mean, I kind of had seen pictures, you know. You see a picture, though, and it doesn't really give you the scope in person. So it was a lot of fun to see them, to bring them into the building. And then, you know, this is kind of, it's a neutral colored building, you know, it's a brutalist style from the 1970s, so it's a very plain, there's not a lot of colors in the building.
It's half the building's on NIU.
Yeah, exactly. And it's the brutalism style, right? So they really stand out, and it's so beautiful to see color in the library and just the bright colors and the shapes and the imagination that goes into them.
Yeah, the first impression for me was the size, like you mentioned. The pictures don't quite do it justice. Right. People really need to come out here and check it out. I was amazed by the different combinations of creatures,
too.
It's so cool.
Exactly, the imagination. And, you know, it's Mexican folk art. It's folk art at its finest, right? It's imaginative, it's creative. It's all about the artist's vision. So it's fun. We are planning to have the artists here a couple of times this year. So we actually have this exhibit through November, through the Dia de los Muertos, which is November 1st. And we are going to have the artists here both in the spring, this spring yet, and then also in the fall we'll have the artists here to do some workshops, just to, you know, talk a little bit about what they envisioned, how they came up with these ideas. So we're excited.
Oh, that sounds very cool. Looking forward to that. Mm-hmm. And where can people find out more about this exhibit online and more about the library?
Go to the NIU Library's website. We have a page dedicated to the exhibit and information about the artists and the inspiration of the exhibit. And then also our hours, we're open to the public all the time. We invite people to just come in on the weekends, or if it's a large group, we ask that you let us know in advance so that we can kind of prepare ourselves for it. But yeah, we absolutely want people to see this and celebrate this with us.
After that opening reception, I met up with the rest of the Under Rocks team to give them the big reveal of the sculptures. And we'll talk with Gwen Gregory, Associate Dean of Collections Management at Founders Library. She'll give us a tour through the exhibit.
Wow.
Did you see him yet?
Uh-huh.
Can't miss him.
Wow. These are amazing and shocking, and I want to climb on them. What do you say besides wow? Got anything, you guys?
These are striking. That's a muted response.
And then you look onto the next one, and a whale with a human skull on a prong, like, I forget what kind of fish.
Lantern
maybe?
Fish.
The whale's name, too, is Jonas. Hi, Gwen. Hello.
Hi, Dan. Nice to
this
meet you.
This is Dan and Sue.
Hi, Sue. Nice to meet you.
Now, this is Sue's first time at the exhibit, so we were getting her reaction as we walked in here.
I was told I could shriek, but I didn't shriek. But I gasped.
Let's spring break. No one is here.
That's what I told her.
Yep. This Jonas caught my eye. Yeah. With all of his eyes.
They have a Alebrijes parade in Mexico City, and you can watch videos of it on YouTube. That is very cool.
Oh, wow.
So people make them for the parade.
Well, see, like how it has
instead of a float.
Frame. Yeah, like this would be just like on wheels going down the street.
So it says that's in 9 pieces.
Uh-huh.
Were you here when they were assembling it?
Yes, the hardest thing was to get them in the doors.
They had to go in the front door?
They did, because like to bring them in the loading dock in the back, they wouldn't fit in the elevator to get up here. So they figured it was just easier, and they were able to like take out the center post in those doors so they could have a bigger space to fit them through. But, you know, it's only so tall.
Do you have a favorite?
I like the ones that are mythical creatures made up of different ones a lot, and also the ones with a lot of the patterns on them.
Yeah, this one says it's a hybrid fish, dragon, and frog.
Right, yeah.
And since radio is such a famously visual medium,
yes.
Can you describe what you're seeing when you look at it?
Sure. Well, the patterns are just multicolored and multi-patterned, with trying to imagine all dozens of colors of paint and different patterns on different parts of the creature. With this one in particular, when it's a hybrid of different animals, then like it has the fins from the fish, but then it has big teeth of the dragon. Its tail is actually made up of other separate fish. It has big paws with claws on them like the dragon. I'm trying to see what part of it is like the frog. I'm not really sure. It has big bulging eyes like the frog.
Maybe.
And it has a little thing coming out of the top of its head. I'm not sure what that is exactly.
The fin, the tail is definitely fish.
Yeah, yeah. And then it has some,
see the dragon.
Some fins on the bottom that are quarter like fish, but almost so maybe sort of like a dragon. And then just the colors, beautiful colors all over it with patterns.
And I missed this the first time I was here. There's even a woodpecker on the wall. There's sculptures on the walls.
There's a toucan over there on the wall.
Oh, my gosh. There's a toucan and a woodpecker on the
wall. How many pieces total are there?
There's 22. When these were at Cantini, they were outside.
Whoa.
So they're not, like, art pieces that are supposed to last forever. I think they have touched them up and painted them. They're made out of paper mache, basically.
Sure.
It's funny to think of them at Cantini, like amongst the tanks. And
right. I'm not sure exactly where they were.
I wonder about did the artists have specific inspirations when the turtle guy made the turtle or the hippo guy?
Sometimes they do, and on the exhibit website, it has interviews with the artists.
Okay.
So sometimes they talk about that a little bit.
What kind of reaction have you had from people?
Well,
when they
people
come
really
in?
Love them. They're first. But when they first got here, people were very surprised, like, what are these things in here? Now I think people are seeing them on social media. I've heard people say that they go to like get their hair cut or something like that, and people say, oh, yeah, I heard about those things at NIU. I want to go see them. So I feel like the news is getting out there. People are knowing that we have them, and then they're bringing people. I was standing out here by the reference desk the other day, and some people came in. I'm thinking it was grandparents with their grandchildren. They clearly had come just to show these to the kids.
Oh, yeah.
So this one down on the end also is a very nice one that I like.
It's so big.
Michael.
Skip Libman for reference in the video.
It's at least 3 Libmans tall.
Yep.
Toad, butterfly, alien? Oh.
There you go.
You some latitude.
The
see
alien?
The toad here. Yeah. Definitely see toad. Oh, definitely see butterfly.
Yeah.
I'm going to say alien.
The rest is alien? Yeah. Okay, so after being awed by this one, then you turn over and you see this sweetheart gazing at you with a very sweet look on its face. It's kind of a cat.
Right, and it's very sort of pastel colors.
Uh-huh.
says she dispels nightmares with her butterfly wings and is always on the lookout to defend children's dreams with her snake tail.
Oh, so she
she's happy,
good.
Brightly colored, and quite feminine.
Well, I think so. Some of these got popular. This probably doesn't apply to the college crowd as much, but that movie Coco, that Disney movie that featured Alebrijes and kind of Alebrijes-inspired art in it.
Okay.
Really brought that into kind of popular culture a little more.
What I love that these are going to be here for so long, too.
Mm-hmm.
So people will, you know, there's no excuse. You do have a chance to get out here and check
right.
these out.
Right, and the library's open lots of hours, and people can come and see them, and they can come and see them again.
Yeah, and a whole new crop of freshmen will be able to come in
exactly,
and be stunned
exactly.
when they walk into the library. That's exciting.
Keep an eye on our website for when we might have more related events.
Okay.
Thank you. Thanks for showing us around.
Well, yes. Thank you all.
You have been listening to Under Rocks on WNIJ. Thanks to Gwen Gregory, Fred Barnhart, Luis Santos Rivas, and Fernando Ramirez for talking with us and bringing this exhibit to DeKalb. If you're in the area, you have to stop by and see the Alebrijes in person at Founders Memorial Library. And if you're not in the area, you can check out the exhibit online. They have a digital exhibit over on niu.edu. Also find this full podcast and other episodes of Under Rocks on WNIJ.org under the podcast tab, and you can email us to let us know what you think we should explore next. Send us a message at rocks@niu.edu. Under Rocks is produced by Spencer Tritt, Susan Stevens, and Dan Libman at WNIJ Studios. Thanks so much for listening, and we will see you next time on another edition of Under Rocks.